This is the State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. When you think of the word hip, you might think of something cutting edge, trendy, very, very modern. But the Mallarmé Chamber Players is creating a different kind of hip. Historically informed performance. The Hip Festival features Renaissance and Baroque period instruments and historical music practices. And joining us now is Artistic Director for the Mallarmé Chamber Players, Suzanne Russo. Welcome back, Suzanne. Good to have you here.
Thank you, Frank.
Also with us on the program, composer Stephen Jaffe and three musicians on cello, Stephanie Vile, on violin, Andy Bonner, and on viola, Joey O'Donnell. Welcome to all of you. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
So, Suzanne, tell us about this Hip Festival. What is it? What's going on here?
Several years ago, some of my colleagues who play Baroque instruments and I got together, and we thought it would be nice to collaborate and actually make a festival of music on these instruments. We all have our own ensembles, and so we brought the ensembles together, and last year we had a week-long festival of music, everything from string instruments to brass instruments, wind instruments, vocal in Baroque style performance. So this year we had we all decided to continue the festival, and we had a lot of interest from other groups. So this year it has expanded quite a lot.
Just tell us about that. The collaborators, who all is in on this?
Starting from last Tuesday was the first performance, the Hilliard Ensemble through Duke Performances. We have a concert of Raleigh Camerata, Voices of a New Renaissance, which is a new vocal group in the area. We have Baroque and Beyond, which is based in Chapel Hill. We have Carolina Performing Arts. The English consort is coming to perform Theodora by Handel, an oratorio. Mallarmé, of course, we're doing a concert. The Vivaldi Project is doing a concert. And we have a couple of other concerts through UNC and Duke Music.
What's great about a construction like this, a series like this, is it really highlights the breadth and the variety of music that we have, orchestral music in this area.
Orchestral and chamber music. Yeah. There's some solo concerts as well. And it's exciting not only for the audience but for the performers to get together and be able to do this.
Can we hear a little something?
Sure. I believe we have a string trio by Telemann in G minor.
Telemann's an old guy, right? Kind of Baroque-ish?
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to place him in the timeline of music. He's a Baroque composer.
Stephanie might be able to speak to that better
than me. Just a little bit. You don't have to give me the whole history, but that's it. He's Baroque, right?
He's a Baroque composer, an incredibly prolific composer. And I think kind of a marketing genius as well. Whenever he wrote a piece, he would list the instruments he wanted, but he would also give and also. So it might be flute, violin, oboe, it might be cello, bassoon, gamba, viola. Very good marketer.
Very good. Well, and we're going to hear this piece now. It is a trio sonata. Thank you. the Trio Sonata in G Minor by Telemann, played by Mellermay Chamber Players, Stephanie Weil on cello, Andy Bonner on violin, Joey O'Donnell on the viola. Participants in the HIP, Historically Informed Performance Festival, taking place now through February 7th throughout the Triangle. Suzanne, we're talking about Baroque and Renaissance era instruments. I mean, these aren't held over. They're not the original instruments, are they?
It's very few cases are the instruments original. There are a few string instruments that survive. Stephanie has a cello that's original.
An original
yes.
cello? How old is it?
Well, my cello is from the 1770s by an English maker,
wow.
William Forster.
In the 1770s?
Yeah, so it's a little bit older than or younger than this music.
Yeah. I had actually a 17th century violin, but it broke.
That's
aha.
Okay. Well, listen. This is the whole concert's going to be a lot better than that. I know it is. Would you? What does it mean though to play on these instruments? And how does it sound, Andy? I know that you also have instruments that can kind of give us a comparison how they sound then and now.
Yes, I also have my quote unquote modern violin with me. My modern violin is actually over a century old, and my Baroque violin, which I was just playing, is 4 years old.
Oh, so there you go. The Baroque one is 4 years old. So hop back there and tell me what that means to have a four-year-old Baroque instrument. How is it similar to those instruments? What's the difference?
Well, there are a few differences in construction. The differences for our string instruments are less than they would be for other things. For example, a piano in the Baroque period didn't exist. It was a harpsichord. And the flute, which is today, you know, made of silver and covered with keys, would have been made of wood and have one key with a lot of open holes. For the violins violin family instruments, the biggest difference is the strings. We have gut strings, actual sheep intestines, and also some other minor differences that give it a different kind of resonance. The 19th century changes were made to project the instrument through concert halls.
All right. Well, can we hear a difference then, a comparison between the two?
While he's getting out his instruments, I think we like to think of it as aesthetic difference rather than one being better than the other, sort of progress towards modern instruments. So the Baroque instruments want to be really resonant and work in small, very resonant rooms, whereas the modern instruments want to project into large concert halls. And with that comes stylistic changes of how one would play. And the important thing is that for each thing you gain with the modern instruments, you lose something from the period instruments, and for what you have with the period instruments, you don't have from the modern instruments. So it's change rather than they're both wonderful.
Wait, and they were deliberate changes, so it's not as though
yeah,
we got
absolutely.
Smarter and better at this.
Exactly.
We said, no, we want to do this is for this purpose, and we're not doing that anymore.
Right.
So we're changing. So let's hear it, Andy. What are we going to play first, and let's see if we can hear the difference.
So first on the modern violin and playing in a sort of 19th century informed style. Here's just the beginning of Bach's D minor partita.
And it was the so-called modern instrument, right? Which is older than your old instrument.
And then the same piece on my Baroque violin, but also played with a different style. So you see, it's not just the difference in equipment. It's a whole different way of thinking about the piece. The 19th century one, especially for that piece, I think of it's almost like Hamlet, melodramatic, epic, you know, very to be or not to be. And the Baroque one approaches it as a dance.
Well, I wonder, that's great and illustrative, I think, of sort of how these things take place and why that there are deliberate changes and not just, as we say, you know, we've sort of got better at making violins. I wonder if I can ask you to play another piece for us right now.
Sure. Stephanie is going to play a cello suite, one of the Bach cello suites, the G major, which is the first suite, and she is going to play the Courant movement for us. Thank you.
That is Stephanie Weil of the Mallarmé Chamber Players, and that is from the Bach Cello Suite No. 1 in G Major, the Courante Movement. Stephanie, let me ask you if it is any different to play on the older instruments than the newer ones.
It's tremendously different. The whole reaction of it is different, and again, it sits on your body. I'm not using an end pin, so there's so many tactile things, especially with the bow. I think one of the biggest differences is the way we use the bow and the conversation that my right hand can have with the strings on my cello. I have all this information. Part of it is because I'm holding the instrument and I can feel it against my legs, whereas if I have it anchored to the floor, I lose some of that information.
You know, that raises questions about composition, and maybe, Stephen, I'll ask you about this as a composer. How the technology, right, the instruments that each composer had available to them might have sort of shaped their compositions and speculate on what they might have done with different kinds of instruments. How important is it, or how much does the instrument itself shape how they compose or how you compose?
Composers have a lot of music in their ears, and for example, my sister was an oboist, so I grew up and I know all the oboe repertoire really, really well because I accompanied her in a lot of it and I heard it all the time. And that makes an oboe sound, and my first chamber concerto, in fact, is for solo oboe and instruments. The instrument in this piece, which is my third, the hip concerto, is my third chamber concerto, and it features, among many other instruments, a Baroque oboe, and that's really a different sound. We could go into the construction and so on, but that's not so interesting as the fact that a composer has something in the ear, and what that gets around to is that these things became standardized about maybe 1915, the piano, the oboe, the violin, and so on. And what the early music movement has done is found ways for these instruments not to be standardized again. And for me, that's very exciting. These are new instruments for me. These are not old instruments. So for me, it's a through line in my career. If I put samples of chickadees in an orchestra piece, that's the same thing as being fascinated with a new sonic possibility as for writing for a trumpet that has no valves, which I'm doing here.
Yeah, and I really did wonder about that, whether or not you could just lay notes on the score and hear a melody and say, all right, now just give me some instruments and play that. I mean, clearly you've got voicing concerns, or whether the timbre and texture of that instrument is going to guide where you put the note.
Composers are taught, any composer worth their salt, a real composer tries to go from the brain or the heart right to the pencil, or today to the software. And you actually do try to hear everything internally. But sometimes you want to try things that are different. And in this case, Baroque instruments are capable of all different kinds of, for example, the strings, the bow strokes are fabulous. And the lighter bow permits very fast bow strokes. It permits really interesting kinds of articulations. The trumpet, oboe, and harpsichord together are fabulous. There's even a recorder in my piece. So it's really interesting to reimagine these. And by the way, if you noticed when you heard that, the two versions of the Bach there, one of them was pitched lower. So that we know from a Baroque organ measuring the pipes and so on that the we don't use the A standard A, which the North Carolina Symphony tunes to the A440 or so, and they use A equals 415 hertz and so on. And that's really different.
It's all great stuff, and we're so happy we're going to hear it. Andy, we're going to let you play us out, if you wouldn't mind, but I'd like you to come to this mic right here. And as you do, I want to remind everybody that you can hear music performed at the HIP Festival through February 7th and get all the information at our website, stateofthings.org. Suzanne Russo is Artistic Director for the Mallarmé Chamber Players. Composer Stephen Jaffe created music for the HIP Festival. And also with us on the program today, Stephanie Weil on cello, Andy Bonner on violin, and Joey O'Donnell on the viola. Well, thank all of you for being on the program.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. A Telemann violin solo. And here's Andy to play it for us. Andy Bonner.